To get along with others, use your heart.
Yes.
To get along with others, use your heart. This is Instant Inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Capitol, California. We've often been told to get along with others, we have to use logic, we have to use concern, reason, balance, and all those sort of things. But we say to get along with others, use your heart. Where does reason, balance, and order come from? It comes from within you. Because I get along with those people just fine, and you're not getting along with those people. So where is the problem? In you. If I can get along with them, you can get along with them. If the world can get along with them, you can get along with them. You see, our individual thoughts about ourselves in our heart is that there is, what's that word over there? Judgment. Mm-hmm. There's judgment. We judge people. We judge whether they're right or whether they're wrong. We judge whether they're good or whether they're bad. And what are we judging?
Awesome.
Now, you see, if we have no experiences in our life, we don't judge. Now, that sounds interesting. When we have no experiences in our life, we do not judge. If you never had the experience in your life of being out in a windstorm when the wind was blowing tremendously and you're being pushed along, and someone says, I was in the windstorm and the wind was pushing me along. Oh, yes, I know how that feels. Yeah, they understand. But I was in a windstorm and it was pushing me along. Oh, come on. When is there a wind strong enough that pushes you along? I've been out in windstorms. I've been out in everything. Yeah, you know, not really the one that I was in. But you see, when you're aware of things, then you judge. When you're not aware, then you don't judge. So you say, oh, the person was not aware of a windstorm, and yet they were judging your windstorm, saying that it shouldn't push you along that strongly. And that's true. But what are they judging? They're judging being human. They're judging the relative world. They're judging the wind as the wind and storms as storms. And they're judging all these things. And you see, the moment we do that, then we're not using our heart. Then we're using our intellects. And then we're judging. And when we judge, we're sure to judge incorrectly. But to get along with others, we use our heart. Now, what is our heart? Our heart is a big softy, you know? It's a big softy from one point of view. We are not touched by what other people do. We are happy for them. We are delighted for them, but we're not touched. Someone comes up and says, my gosh, I just cut my hand off. And you say, how ugly, you know? Oh, how, ooh, you know? But if you don't judge, you just say, hey, wrap it in a towel, we'll go right to the hospital and have him sew it back on again. He said, I just cut my hand off. He didn't mean to cut it off 10 minutes ago or an hour ago or a day ago. I just did it. So you, in perfect balance from your heart, recognizing that this is important, not the intellect. The intellect would say there's too many reasons it can't be done and stuff like that. It's just like with Larry Nolan. He cut off his hand. And he went right to the hospital. They carried his hand along. And they sewed it back on. And, you know, it was a hand that was cut. Not off the wrist or something. But that was even worse. And so they knitted and purled and they stitched and so forth until they finally got it perfect. And now he uses that hand just like normal. It's an impossible thing. They have to get all the blood vessels going in there right. They have to get all the nerves connected correctly. They have to get all the little capillaries going in there properly. There's a jillion little things that they got to put together. And then they got to get the muscles so that they all fit harmoniously together. And they have to do all those wonderful things. But at the minute you, with your intellect, try to say, oh my God, forget it, you know. But no, with your heart, hey, let's go for it. Let's go for it. One of these things, they'll have brain surgery. I mean real brain surgery. where they take the old brain out and put a new brain in.
Oh.
And a new brain in an old body, that's sort of a useless trip. It'd be nice to take our brains and put it in a new body that happened to be available, you know.
A new chip.
A what?
A chip.
Yeah, a chip. But you see, with your heart now, you are playing with me. And we're seeing these things as possibilities. But with your intellect, you would say, no way, it can't be done. These are beyond our present ability. But, you know, in prehistoric times, we have the bones of prehistoric man to look at. And prehistoric man in prehistoric times, and you know what prehistoric means? Way back before prehistory, and before written history, and before, it's almost like caveman type. And you know what they did? They did tree planing. You know what tree planing is? Brain surgery. They would cut a square in the skull, and they would lift the square out, and then they would go in there, and they would let out the pressure that the blood had done or something, you know. And then after the person was relaxed and back to normal a little bit, put the bone back on, the skull bone, and then let it grow onto it by itself, you know. Probably put something on to hold it in place. But the person lived for many, many years afterwards. And this was, when they did that, they had to take a chisel and chip, 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 and chip, 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 and chip, 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 chip. And my goodness, if you ever had a headache, that surely would bring one. But that person must have really needed it. And the inspired being who worked on that person to do the tree planing operation, was a pure genius who just listened within and moved on what he heard. And, or she, who knows, it might have been a woman. I don't think women have been given half enough credit for how interesting they are and what they might have done in the past, you know. It'd be fascinating. But think about that. If we get along with others when we move with our heart, when we move with our heart, there's nothing impossible. We can accomplish anything we want to accomplish in our life. And we also don't judge. Think of the mother whose son had an accident and had to go to jail for the accident. It was a stupid accident. He either was careless or drunk or whatever. It doesn't matter. The accident's an accident, but it's not an accident. It's caused definitely by something. So the mother goes to the court with the boy. And the judge says, da 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 da. And the mother turns to her son and says, I'm standing right here with you, son. Whatever the results, I'm standing right here with you. We know that, you know, whatever is for your highest and best takes place. And he walks forth strong, able to handle this, because he knows that his mother's love is there. Her heart is with him. Her heart and her caring. Now, she may not agree with him doing something in an accident that kills someone or something like that. She may not think that that's nice. She may not think that having been drunk at the time he did it, or having alcohol in his body at the time he did it, that was acceptable, but that's her son. You walk past all the evidence, if you will. You walk past all the information, and you say, son, what you did was wrong, but I'm with you 100%. I'm right behind you, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that's the heart. That's the heart speaking. That's the emotion. That's the love. That's the caring speaking. And can you see how you could get along so well with your neighbor when you have a caring heart? Now, we have David over here, and David has a lot of burdens on his heart. He has a daughter who has problems, and a daughter, I don't know, she's maybe 13, 16 years old, but she has the mind of a younger child, and she needs to be in a wheelchair all the time. Now, that can't be any fun for them or anybody, but that's their daughter. That's their heart, their love. And you have to have an awful lot of love in you to stay with a situation like that rather than run away. Some fathers run away from a situation. Some mothers run away from a situation like that. They can't take it. I had a secretary, Cecilia, and she was a concert pianist in Europe. And she was playing in Vienna with her husband, and he wasn't playing, but he was there. She was playing in Vienna, and her husband and her two daughters were there. And she didn't have time for her daughters. She didn't have time for her husband either. And so she was just so busy with her career and her life. And so her lady assistant, you know, who took care of her needs and so forth, took care of the daughters. And she said to the lady assistant, "You do such a good job. Would you like to have the girls?" "Oh, yes." "Well, they're yours, you know." And she gave the daughters to this lady assistant, and a lot of money, too, because, you know, to raise the girls, because she was well-to-do, and never saw them again. But now, you see, that's cold. That's cold. Yes, it is cold. It is cold, but perhaps it's warmer than we know, because she didn't give the daughters any love or any attention. She didn't give them anything. She gave them someone to take care of them, which was wise. And the daughters were young enough to, you know, change their affections to the new mother, because she was already their mother in any event. And the husband went his way, but she went on with her career. And it's crazy. But these are things. Now, did she have a big heart to give her daughters away? Well, probably bigger than we know. Bigger than we know. Because she knew that her daughters were going to get love where she wasn't giving it to them. She had no concern. She was a cold-hearted woman, very cold. And she came to me at 78, I think it was something like that, to be my secretary. And she had been in a Catholic convent in India and lots of other places, and gone through all sorts of tough experiences. And then she came to me, and we remodeled her. And she turned out to be a very charming lady, very wonderful, very positive. And when she began developing love, she began developing it toward me, which is what oftentimes happens. And because she developed it toward me, I had to be strong with her and say, no, no, you know. And that made her feel very insecure, because she'd always gotten what she wanted. She'd always been able to manipulate, bamboozle, and, you know, show her heart to get what she wanted. But this time, it didn't work. And so she went off to another guru, if you will. And but you see, working with her heart, while she was working with her heart, everything fell into place. Everything was perfect. She worked at the monastery. She was fantastic. She was wonderful. She changed herself. She liked herself. She began doing all sorts of great things. But then possession reared its ugly head. And with possession, jealousy, because she couldn't stand to see me around other ladies, you know. And so this is a problem. This is a problem. And that was how many years ago? She was 78 in 75. And so she'd be well over 100 if she were still with us today. But I think someone said she's passed away. But you see, with our heart, with our emotion, we can accomplish anything. But we have to keep our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits for whatever we have accomplished to manifest in our life and be something fantastic and good. So, it's interesting. Deal along with others, use your heart. We've given a variety of illustrations on this now, and a variety of impacts. Think about these things, because that's what life's all about. Be yourself and have fun, and always be yourself. I love you.